Andrew and George talk to people sometimes.
And now, now for our feature presentation.
Yeah. See now, I was reminiscing on some shit. Just in case you niggas wasn't really understanding what was going on. Bust a bus, nigga. Mick Boogie. Check it. Let's go.
Since I was a youngin', I would walk in the street and I was taking what was mine.
Come on. When I was young, see, I was packing a punch. Little feisty motherfucker, quick for taking your lunch. None of my niggas rocking with
me. Hey, everybody. Welcome to episode 18 of Drew and George Talk to People Sometimes. This week's guest, well... Oh, that's Drew Brooks.
And that's George Basil.
Yep.
There you go.
This week's guest.
We did it. We've consistently fucked up every single intro.
And now. We've fucked it up again.
Now we've done it again.
No, this one's
this
easy.
This one feels good.
Yeah.
You know why it's easy?
Because of our guest.
Because of our awesome guest.
He brought the butter to our bread.
He really did. He shined our butter on our bread.
Yeah. And I feel like... during the interview, and you can both feel free to stop me if you want. Oh, Adam's not here.
Adam doesn't exist right now.
I feel like I really thought a lot about religion.
Yeah.
It's great,
so. Yeah. So tune in, episode 18.
You're going to feel a lot about religion.
No, it's true. We got
deep
real fast.
Deep fast.
And then quickly got out of the pool.
Because deep fast is very, very
deep.
Deep. And a little
quickly.
Too
fast.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deep fast is also known as deep quick.
Deep quick.
When is the last time, if there ever was a time, when your little silly ass got on your fucking knees and opened up and
probably
wanted God so hard and asked for one miracle?
Okay. I'll tell you the truth. It was probably a couple of days ago.
Damn. You do
where
it.
I was like, God, are you listening?
No. Because now is the time. Did you never have a moment like that?
Well, of course, when I got in trouble all the time. Like, when I was in trouble, if I got into serious trouble as a kid, I would always be like, God, if you're out there.
Damn.
Please.
You pulled the God card a lot then.
Did you ever scream out to God like, come on, man. You had to have. Yeah.
It was a family passing. It was a family member passing.
Oh, wow.
And I remember going into a bathroom and getting like literal get down and put your fucking hands, lace them up and look up. And there was a huge mirror in front of me. So I watched myself pray to God like one fucking last time. And that was the last fucking time.
That was the last time you did that.
And I gave him other little opportunities. I gave her other little opportunities.
Respect, because it is a she.
It's
at this point,
she,
we know God is a
or
she.
Or it's a he, or it's, you know, the gender of water.
It's a water gender?
Yeah, it's the new water gender.
Did that just happen?
Yeah.
You just made that up?
No. No.
It's got to be out there.
I've been writing this for
There's a
long
third
time.
Gender.
And it was weird to watch and cry and beg and be like, come on, man, save this lady. She's going to be, you know, around or whatever and blah-diddy-bloop. And then did the whole, like, you know, after-school special thing.
Song and dance, gave it a little tear.
Tunnel big tear, yeah.
That's intense, man, in a bathroom.
Sure.
Nonetheless.
Dude.
Privacy. What?
Yeah, in a bathroom.
Don't get so frustrated.
Dude.
Getting so frustrated.
Tried to give myself an enema in that same bathroom. Couldn't do it.
Well, that's an entirely different podcast.
You're goddamn right. But religion is kind of like douching your ass.
It is. Yeah. No, wait. It's not. No, it's not.
Maybe
is
not
it?
To you.
Not to me, it isn't.
But I'm just saying that the same environment that could breed a douche in your ass could also breed God love.
I'm sure you upset somebody.
Nah. No, because people understand that I'm right.
People understand that you're right?
Yeah.
Because you make such great arguments.
They overstand that I'm right.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Come on. I've said enough.
You know what I would like you to say?
To be able to say stupid
say,
shit.
Who our guest is on this episode 18.
Sure. Yeah. It was this lovely 62-year-old woman.
Oh, 62-year-old woman.
Ice cream maker.
With like dangly hair.
Dangly Haley hair. And her name is Adam Carpenter.
Adam Carpenter. Slender.
Ooh, beautiful slender.
Beautiful slender.
We were really lucky to have him.
Very lucky.
He rode up on his motorcycle. I knew when he was here. I popped right out.
Cool as fuck.
Yeah.
Cool as fuck.
Now you've upset someone.
Now I've upset Adam, I think.
Yeah. I think you have.
Somehow.
Please leave your quotes in the comment section and enjoy, and thank you for listening and continue to listen.
Yes.
Even if you're a dirtbag, okay?
Nah, I don't agree with that. I think you're all great people.
There's at least a few dirtbags that listen to this.
That's probably more than a couple of. Yeah, I guess you're right.
Sure. This goes out to the douchebags. Adam Carpenter, episode 18. Thanks for listening.
We'll be coming to dig up all in your pocket. Every now and then they might throw a punch back. At the end of the day, they had to pay for their lunch back. Now, you know, my bark was rude. After a while, I realized the kids was cool with paying me for their food. Okay, okay. Must have been something I saw cash flow. I ain't only lust for the cake. I fell in love with the dough. Let's get this money. Now, I ain't never believed she could be so sweet. When niggas can get paper so easy, this motherfucker feels so good. Taking a little nigga lunch money and his lunch, and making him pay for his lunch to get his lunch back. Yeah, that's how we got his lunch money too. And that's how we on it. Come on.
Had the chance to go and start the bubble, some coke, and started taking what was mine.
Alright, alright. Got a little older, married this thing called struggling. Hustling, trying to find bigger things, we busting in. Even though sometimes we fighting, we tussling. We shorties holding their paper through the hustle and bustling. And I stand on the corner, smoke a blunt with my click. My dog ever bless me when he front me a brick. You best believe that.
As we get down and dirty with powder and coke the coke and flip a brick in 36 hours.
Now what you say? We out of town and now we
doing
it
crazy. My money's sick.
Unbelievably, you're coming in easy.
Let's get this out. Welcome.
Thank you for having me here.
Come on, man. He's been here for a while.
Yeah, okay.
I just walked in the door.
Yep. Just trying to create the illusion.
We need that creaky door sound effect. We're like,
put the Foley in. Clink. Put the Foley in. Guys, we sound amazing.
Do we sound
so good?
Do I have a rich bass?
You really do, man. You have a texture to your voice. Thank you. Butterscotch.
How'd you get a rich bass?
You know, you work and you work and you strive, you get the gold watch, and then you have that rich bait.
You said you've been working out more. I want to know what you do, because I just downloaded Insanity.
So you pirated an online workout thing?
Because I like it. Yeah. I like it to be owned.
Mm. Is Insanity better than P90X?
Insanity is supposedly better than all the Nexus.
They have more six packs per minute in the in the infomercial than any other.
I all feel like the famous actors.
I feel like I saw something where people were just working out to the infomercial. Like whenever it come on, there's a trend of just whenever you see it online, you jump off the couch, start working out, doing whatever you see in the like in the show, and then you can go back to
whatever you chilling out.
Yeah. That's the next level of muscle confusion, is a surprise workout.
Whoa. Oh, crap. I was just watching a tampon commercial. Now I've got to blow it out my ass.
Deep. Yeah. There's apps like that, right?
That's how we get America jacked again.
Yeah. Man. Oh, well, to answer your question, I woke up at 8 today and drank a coffee, then ran downtown to play racquetball.
Ran as in jogged.
Ran on in my motorbike. Like sat down on a conveyance.
Yes.
And arrived there shortly thereafter.
Maybe then you ran to your motorbike?
No.
Not.
No, it's
let the listeners know you got a cool bike, you're a cool dude.
Cool bike, my waistline is tight.
Tight, right?
Most of this hair is mine.
Most of the hair is yours. The rest is paid for.
My nails is crisp. So you went down to play racquetball. Do you need a buddy to do that?
You're going
to
need a buddy.
Okay.
I have a larger male friend who plays me.
Jesus.
Which, he gets a little sweat on, but basically he gets personal satisfaction from just decimating me.
Just really? Destroying you. He's
it's
good
a
at
skill-based
it?
Game.
Yeah.
And if you're not hitting cohesive thought shots to set people up, then you're fucked.
Is it foursome? Do you play a foursome?
You can. Okay. I have no idea how that actually goes down. I can barely manage myself just one-on-one. But if the principle is you own the center of this racquetball court, and then you run the other idiot around. So I'm literally bouncing into walls. We've instituted a new rule where if it bounces two times, after the second bounce, you can kick it. You can't strike the ball. I'm very good at that portion. In fact, I sometimes forget to use the racket so I can kick it, and you have to get it to the front wall.
You can kick it to the front after two bounces.
So the first bounce, you know, then you play it.
Sure.
But if you're getting screwed, you've missed that opportunity.
You are allowed to kick it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jesus. And the game has really opened up for me since we stopped playing the game by the real rules.
Still haven't scored a point, but...
No. Always shut out.
Yeah.
Always like weird out. Sweat places.
How old?
How old is the game of racquetball?
Yeah, how old is the game of racquetball?
1913.
Get out of here. I always just picture it in the 80s, like with sweatbands, like McEnroe
style. That's the peak. There was a professional association. I'm sure there still is, but that was a viable career.
It wasn't like every movie in the 80s where the guy was having trouble with the wife and he was taking it out on the racquetball.
I can only imagine Dan Aykroyd playing racquetball.
Mm. Really? I picture Elliot Gould like a motherfucker.
Oh my God, that's the ideal racquetballer.
That's the ideal.
Bad Jewish leg hair, but looks great.
Tight white short. Mm. Yes, Charlie, that's proper. Where are you from?
North Carolina.
North Carolina.
Why?
Wasn't my choice.
Whose life is it then?
My Southern Baptist parents, they said we're going to make some children here.
You raised Southern Baptist as a religion?
I was.
Is that when you scream gospel?
I screamed it. I screamed it from the mountaintop. I actually lost my religion on a mountaintop at a Christian camp when I was 13 years old.
Oh, wow. So you did the whole Christian camp youth group thing?
Mm-hmm. Wow. We were at Camp Cheerio in the mountains of Appalachia.
Those are some pretty fucking mountains.
That's incredible. It's
a good mountain.
Good mountain.
Yeah, I had broken my nose playing baseball. Actually, my father broke my nose playing baseball.
Oh my gosh.
Which is another story.
Yeah.
But I couldn't go whitewater rafting on the trip, so I was just left at the camp while everybody else went to have, I don't know, a communion with God. And
on the rapids.
I'm guessing a communion with God.
Yeah, and, you know, while paddling.
Yeah.
And so I just wandered up to a peak and it was lamenting my loneliness.
Do you feel like you had a conversation with God?
Well, I threw my arm. I'm standing like on a precipice looking out over this valley. It's
gorgeous.
How
old are you at this point?
13.
Holy moly. Okay.
And I remember like opening my arms, opening my arms to this valley and being like, God, come into my life. And as I was saying it, I was like, you look like a fucking retard.
That's amazing. So you had this like sort of out of body experience where you're looking down and going, oh, that's just silly.
Yeah, it was to the extent of like just kind of getting hit in the side of the head with Ephesians and Corinthians and being like, I have to do what? And this is how it has to be? And it just seemed like the construct.
Wow.
At that thing just seems so ludicrous to me. So then it's been, you know, like now I believe in black magic and, you know, date only Wiccans.
I'm glad
but
you
like,
got it there. Well, that's what I wanted to talk about.
No, but I mean, it took me, I was like very against the rhetoric for a very long time and embittered. But now it's like coming back to some sort of understanding of, I can't quantify what God is, but I'm
sure.
Just to take this.
You went from like
Elliot Gould.
Beautiful, Elliot Gould.
Like we did.
Did you see other kids your age at that camp having the type of experience that you wanted or that you were asking for?
No. It wasn't like a hand waving, you know, kiss to God sort of thing. Like I like
kiss to God.
I don't know, but that's not even a
no.
Thing.
It is now.
Yeah, it is. It's definitely a baseball thing. Yeah.
Shout out, Sammy Sosa, kiss to God. Yeah, I liked the youth group. The people there were my friends. I was very uncomfortable in school, but I got to be funny and like hang out and chill with these people that I felt as much as they could or anyone would accept me. They did.
Yeah.
So I ended up, even despite that sort of thing, like staying in that youth group and being an active member until I went to college in New York.
Just for the socialized aspect of it.
For the communion of it. Yeah. That's a very Christian term. For the fun time.
Community.
That is something, to be a part of something is cool. And especially a club, it's just like the Boy Scouts, right? It's just more God.
Yeah, so I guess if it had been like white supremacist, it would still have been a nice time, and I wouldn't have believed in it either.
Hey, they're really nice to each other.
But, yeah, as long as you have the same pallor.
Yeah, exactly. Wow, so, okay, you're 13. When did you move? When did you go outside of the place you grew up?
I think what he means to ask is...
Thank you.
When did you lose your virginity?
Yeah, I think that's what we were getting to.
Similar in my life. I lost my virginity...
The day I left home.
Graduation rehearsal day.
Rehearsal?
Yeah.
Couldn't wait.
Yeah, I gave it away to a more experienced girl.
Awesome.
And to In Utero.
Whoa.
Which she had a baby? She was a baby.
While I was in her utero, We were listening to Nirvana in utero.
Oh, okay, I got it. Nice.
This sounds like a very girly thing to be like, and you know what was on the radio?
You won't believe it.
When I was being entered.
Shut up.
In utero.
Get out.
And don't go chasing.
It's like poetry.
Mm-hmm. That's and then I was senior class president, so I had to like go give like the speech, prep speech there, and I was just looking out at all these idiots that did not know how much sex I had.
I'm a sex machine, you fools, and you voted for me.
You voted for me because I played harmonica on the announcement.
Nice.
Yeah,
that is pretty cool.
Useless.
Wow, you were student body president, huh?
Yeah, you know. Got to get them extracurricular things.
Left home right after high school? Is that what you were going to ask?
Exactly.
Yeah, I read On the Road and was convinced I was going to be a Dharma bum. And my mom was like, no. You choose three of the schools you maybe want to go to and we'll find a way to pay for you.
Yeah.
I was like, Oxford, Harvard, and NYU. Which I don't know how NYU ever made that list of like me fucking with my parents. I guess I wanted to go to school.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I got early admission to NYU.
Cool.
And then, I got the.
Was that like the gifted and talented program?
Gifted and talented, yeah.
Okay.
We did like science projects all day.
The volcanoes.
Tinker toys and yeah.
So when had you been to New York before?
I went to New York sophomore year of high school with an art club. And got hit by a cab.
Oh, shit. Welcome to New York.
It was awesome.
That's so cool.
Like, all these, like...
That's like losing your virginity in New York.
Yeah, my hymen was broken. Yeah, I got hit by a cab and, like, rolled up on the thing. I jumped right before I saw it jump, got hit, rolled, cracked his windshield. He got out with yelling at me for cracking his windshield. And then all these, like, little tepid artists, like, went crazy and started kicking this cab from North Carolina, like, the sweetest.
You're rolling with a crew people. At this point. Yeah.
Yeah, hardcore fine arts crew. Yeah. Yeah.
Holy cow. So you went there with a group of artists. So the artist thing was big for you. What did you major in NYU?
Uselessness.
Perfect.
Proximity.
I think technically, although I don't think I've ever seen my pussy. I majored in pussy and minored in none of it. I have a BFA in acting.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's great.
From NYU, we're the Fighting Violets.
Ooh, man.
Get out.
Yeah.
That's hard. That's murderous. Those poets are murderous.
Yeah. Our mascot is the Bobcat, which sounds ferocious.
Yeah.
Until you find out that the Bopst Library's card catalog is called the Bobcat. So our mascot is...
A card catalog?
A library search engine.
Perfect. Perfect.
Which is still better than Fighting Violets.
Holy moly. And did you do... You would do improv out there and stuff like that? Did you find that world?
Yeah, I did a little bit.
You did plays.
I did a lot of like sketch and stuff. I did comedy sports in North Carolina.
Oh, okay,
growing
cool.
Growing up. Yeah. And a lot of good people out there. And then I did longer Harold form at UCB. Yeah. A little bit, and then my writing partner Zach Steele and I were doing strange experimental comedy mixed with non-narrative dance structures and
that's my guy.
Yeah. Just to extend the era of no pussy for Adam.
Yeah, you really did.
Still
it's
majoring.
Like wearing garlic with vampires, my man. Mm-hmm. Good for you. All right. Mm-hmm. And so, and did you like, is the dance thing for real for you? Do you have like a dance background, or are you just like a funky dude?
I really can't like remember when I started being like identifying myself as.
Was it in junior high though when they had those dances? Because I cut a rug in junior high.
Bro. No, dude, no, definitely not. I remember Shanice Jones and Bradley Hill
made fun of you.
Sixth grade, interracial couple,
big hit.
Shanice backing it up all over Bradley.
Whoa!
And I was like, that is awesome. Too much. Bradley has been openly gay for 10 years now. It was great.
That's amazing.
Yeah, I was definitely a wallflower at that point. But I would dance, like, family-wise. We always listened to Soul.
That's
my mom
best.
With her
that's
big awesome. Ass would swing it on occasion. So my mom taught me about sex.
That's wicked, though. My mom was the one that told me how to grind.
My mom showed me how to grind.
Yeah, oh I can God. Drop it. My mom showed me how.
What was the music like? Give me some examples. Like, what is it? Stuff you still listen to? Is it like
Otis Redding and James Brown was like, what? Ooh. Sam Cooke, like that kind of stuff I loved. And then I bought, you know, when Columbia House.
Oh,
when
yeah.
they would like give you 12 free CDs for pretending
to got everybody. It got everybody.
For the price of 12 CDs.
Oh, it happened, and my mom three times in a row wrote like, Adam did this without parental explaining, you need to let him out of this contract.
Wow.
So I got
three
like 30,
times in a row?
Yeah, 36 CDs. So I got a Doors
box. You realize
box
that's
set
a mother-son con structure. Like, yeah. That's perfect.
We basically took down the music industry. Yeah, so it was like Doors, Zeppelin, and then like this entire like
Lenny Kravitz
soul R&B stuff. No, Lenny Kravitz.
Well, I got Lenny Kravitz.
I mean, the Guess
no,
Who
you don't.
American
I don't
Woman.
Huh? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But you covered.
Yeah.
It's as close as you got.
That's as close as
Otis,
I got.
Otis is a beast. Crazy that that guy died, what, at 25?
24, looking 48, yeah.
Looking 48.
From
he
what?
Looked like a father of 10 children.
Fell out of the plane.
Fell out of the plane.
And then the plane caught on fire. Plane crashed.
I got to learn how to plane, use plane English. Caught on fire. Plane crashed on top of
plane
Otis
crash.
Redding.
He was fine. He was in a field. Plane crash on
him. On him.
I mean, it amazes me.
I didn't even get a letter for that. You got to cut that out. I love Otis.
It's incredible.
About his death.
We're going to joke about all of our deaths today, my friend.
I'll be dead soon enough.
I know. That's so true. It's closer than we all think.
Jesus Christ.
What's the title of this podcast again? Reminder of death.
Everyone dies sometime.
From fine. It just winds down into like a low.
I know. Din. It's so sad.
Did you see Leviathan?
That sounds like a thing that I've heard of.
It's like asking, have you done ayahuasca?
Ayahuasca.
Just some English breakfast teas. No, I haven't seen Leviathan.
It's the Russian.
Oh, okay, yeah. It looks like crazy and funny a little bit, but not at all.
Yes, not at all.
Exactly.
It was not at all.
What is
it?
But
it's really pretty. Movie.
Well, they made in the trailer. There's like three vodka jokes, and then some AK-47 play that seemed amusing.
They drink vodka throughout that entire thing and smoke cigarettes and shoot guns.
That's my impression of Russians, though.
Yeah,
like, that's what I look.
It's sometimes when that the stereotype just helps you understand the truth. Like certain of my cousins in North Carolina, you can do your hillbilly impression, and we'll be like, oh, that's my second cousin.
You still have family there?
Oh, all my family is within a 20-mile radius.
Whoa.
Raleigh.
Yeah. You're the one that...
My brother escaped to Chicago and L.A. for 8-month spells, but is now firmly cemented.
Wow. Are you the only, like, performer from your family?
My middle brother is a painter. Cool. Which means he manages a sports bar in Raleigh. Very talented. His last commission was Zach Galifianakis from The Hangover wearing an NC State Wolfpack t-shirt.
Nice.
And I'm
That's
like,
awesome.
This is a misuse of your skill, or it might be like honing.
That's it.
Like, you would have never allowed yourself to paint this painting, but what has come out is pretty amazing.
It's pretty incredible. That's pretty incredible. I wouldn't mind having that.
I'll ask him if he wants to just recreate
just
that or silk
give me
screen
a print.
It.
Yeah, give me a print.
Does he have a website? What's the website?
Jaredsart.com, is that right? I don't know.
Well, either way, Jared's going to be pumped.
I don't know if he's ever listened to a podcast.
Really? Is he older or younger? How many siblings?
Two. I'm the oldest.
Okay.
I'm 35. He's 33. And then we have an unexpected brother who is 20.
And that's me.
And George is it.
Congratulations.
He's just taking his hair down.
Whenever.
True. You're just letting the hair down, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're pulling it apart, like doing stuff with it?
I have to pull it apart now because it's long enough to where it, I guess, attaches itself to things.
It just tangles
you
up
mean
on
itself?
You?
To itself, yeah. So I don't know what.
Are dreads a real potential problem for you?
Yeah. I think my hair could dread up pretty. If I fell asleep for like 6 days and woke up, I'd have one dread.
One dread, just
like
a single.
I like how for you that's an option.
I could do
you know,
that.
I might accidentally fall asleep for 6 days. Such is the depths of my despair.
Yeah, there's somebody who could actually accidentally do it would be George for sure. Yeah.
Just come over, guys.
Did you ever have long hair?
At 7:30 every day.
You do?
I don't know what it. You wake up way early.
Anyway. Yeah, he wakes up super.
I'm the same way now. Yeah. It just happened one day.
I'm gradually getting. Yeah, that's the thing is I think I'm hitting that almost as we speak.
Right, it's the old man button, right?
I think I pushed the old man button because now it's just like what?
Like shitty farmer. Like this is yeah. You're supposed to like have now been like, oh, now I'm a I'm an aging farmer. I can wake up at 7:30 instead of 4:05.
Well.
Yeah, relax to 7:30 today, whereas opposed to me being like, fuck, I just went to bed. This hurts.
It hurts. It feels terrible. I was just talking to George about how, well, we were just walking and talking about it. It's like, the rest is so important.
Yeah.
Because it is the difference. I know it sounds
That's what this podcast
Yeah, let's
about.
Get down to it. Let's tell the people it is the difference between a good day and a bad day.
Put this podcast on when you're ready for bed.
And listen to the soothing, dulcet tones of my rich bass. Have some magnesium as you go to bed.
Some milk of magnesium.
Eat a little bit of ice cream.
You talked about theater. When did that happen? Or was that always going on? Were you a theater kid? Or?
I was cast at age 12. Ooh. In my church production of Abraham and Isaac. I played Abraham
Lincoln?
Abraham from Bible.
From Bible Abraham.
Yeah.
Bible Abraham.
And I was sacrificing my son, Mike Chappell, who was a year older than me.
Who played Jesus.
Who played Isaac. basically, God comes to Abraham, the father of Jew town.
Yeah.
Jewtown Mayor 101.
I love this, as told by you.
Yeah. A Christian with a huge Jewish nose. Yeah, so I was in like a fat suit and a glued-on beard, performing in the sanctuary at night, and there's I can't remember what the play is, but I feel like I'm half the thing is me talking to God while Mike Chappell, aka Isaac, is just laying on a slab.
Just laying on a slab.
But I'm playing I think at this point in the Bible, figure. Abraham's 200. Uh-huh. You know how they just make people live to 7,000 years
and talk to God. They make everybody talk to God.
Yeah, I can only imagine what that production really was like.
No videotape of it.
God,
somewhere.
So. Oh, you know, man. Some Betamax or something.
Have you read the whole Bible?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh God, I don't think so.
You read the whole Bible?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
In some way.
In some combination. Yeah.
I have probably 15 years of Bible school under my belt and then 2 or 3 years of I'm gonna take down these Christians.
Ooh, right. So you're
fighting Christians. Early 20s angry.
Yeah. I just remember church as a young kid. The thing to me is now is just it's just a good storytelling show. Because 9 times out of 10, I don't know if you experienced this growing up with church, but it was oftentimes the pastor? Did you have pastors?
Sure.
Okay.
Well, pastor?
Priests or whatever. They would come out and they'd be like, here's a relatable thing about current contemporary times, and here's the story in the Bible that matches it, right?
Yeah, that's the blueprint. Yeah.
That's the format, right?
But there's some guys that, and I've dated a couple Christians out here and had to go to church, and
hot damn.
There's been a couple pastors where you're some hot Christian.
Ooh, mingle.com.
Young Texan Christian.
Brittany. Don't you touch
Brittany, where are you at, girl?
Put a ring.
but it's a guru if it's done well. It's someone who's actually couching wisdom in different relatable things. And it wasn't done that well where I'm from.
Okay, back when you're from.
But I was also an asinine teenager for most of it. And I just looking to hook up with Amanda Hutchins.
Sweet Amanda Hutchins. Amanda Hutchins.
Isn't that a softball player?
Is it? Jenny Finch is the only softball player
That's
for me.
Exactly who I'm thinking about.
That's exactly
Is it really? I nailed
about.
It?
Mm-hmm.
What, is she a hot softball player, guys?
I just remember when she came through the Olympics team or something.
Yeah, when you're looking at that softball team, you're like, that's the hot one.
That's the hot one. And she's got a contract.
She's a star.
She's married to someone also famous for sport.
Yeah, Drew Brees.
Lou Reed.
Lou Reed.
What'd you say?
Quarterback Lou Reed.
She's married to Lou Reed.
I remember recently that there was a very, very attractive ping pong player, like professional ping pong player.
I think if you play the game of ping pong, you're inherently attractive. It is the most sensual of all games.
It is so tiny and sensual.
It's sensual.
Do you know I trained in ping pong for 3 months?
Time the fuck out. Are you serious?
I live in Koreatown, and there's a ping pong gym, Jae-ho-song's ping pong gym.
This Koreatown?
Yeah, yo. The Koreatown.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, yo.
Koreatown.
This is the biggest population of Koreans outside of Seoul.
I think.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Damn.
I did not know that.
It's also the largest number of Czechoslovakians to come back to life.
I don't even need to fact check how wrong that is.
Zombie Czechs.
No.
Los Angeles. Read it.
No.
It's not in the papers. Mecca.
It's the undead zombie. Slavic Mecca.
Zombie Slavic Mecca.
You're not going to find it in your fucking papers, okay? You have to find it.
You're not going to find it in the paper.
Yeah.
No one will write about it because they're not allowed to print non-facts. Well, I guess there's, you know.
So you trained for 90 days, hardcore. Did you have a coach that was like a...
I had a tiny Filipino man who I don't think I was ever told his name. I don't think I earned it.
You didn't earn it, okay.
Once or twice a week, we would have a one-on-one hour lesson. Let me tell you, my quads were burning.
For real?
Quads. You're in a squat. You're down on that table. And I'm a big guy.
You're a big guy, yeah.
And this guy's like literally 5'1", and he's just, you see him over the edge of the table, so I had to start getting down. And then I would play every day. And I remember I came in, I was like, I want to take some lessons, I want to do this. And he's like, okay, you play with her. You play with Mary. Which was obviously not her name.
Right.
She was a 70-year-old Korean woman whose English was like, good.
Oh, that's so funny.
I played her for a week and then was holding my own. Then I got promoted to an elderly man. Then I got promoted to a 13-year-old girl.
Whoa.
Was she a crusher?
She murdered me. Like you could see her self-worth completely tied up in every shot.
Yeah.
And I wanted that in my life. and then I was allowed to play with like the Korean businessmen.
The elite.
And within 2 weeks, I was definitely like doing the Forrest Gump.
No kidding. 5 feet
from the table, forehands.
Cracking it.
Ripping shots. I'm not like getting looks and people being like, that's a good forehand. And I was like, well, I guess I'll see y'all later. And they're like, okay, well, let's play a game. And then they start cutting the ball, and I can't manage my limbs, you know, just going everywhere and useless. And then a young, pretty, my age white girl started coming. Hey. And they were like, you guys are dating. We're like, we don't know each other. And they're like, you're in love.
Because you're two whites.
You're two whites. And I was like, I love racism if it's going to get me laid.
Definitely.
And it came close, but I don't know where she's at.
Where did she go?
I think I still have her
one name. Was she good at ping pong? No, she wasn't.
It was very uncomfortable.
That sucks, bro.
Because they would make us play so we'd fall in love. And she'd be getting uncomfortable because she couldn't return. And I'm trying to feed it to her and be like, it's okay, dear heart.
You softballed it.
Sometimes it just doesn't work.
Sometimes. If she could have returned my forehands, then I could have backhanded her all day. I should shut up in general.
That's great. So do you play anymore? No?
I own my own paddle. I could take it anywhere.
But that's right. You played ping pong at that house when everybody took a break and shit.
Okay.
In Calabasas. That ping pong that was in the backyard. Was that a ping pong table?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And there was, like, the ping pong ball kept, like, fucking
flying everywhere.
It went off one side of the table. It was just dog shit.
It was dog shit one side, pool the other.
Yeah. Yep. So it's either flying into the water or flying into a pilot dog shit.
I hate that. I hate, like, I was in college.
What, dog shit?
Well, I just hate chasing college after a ping pong ball. Oh, yeah. It's the fucking worst. It's worse than a tennis ball. Like, just where'd it go?
So tiny. They get away from you so quick.
So tiny. Now, that's why I wear tight pants. So I don't leave my ping pong balls.
Oh, my God.
Keep them close.
So you got into theater at NYU, and were you doing, like, were you in play productions, like, consistent, like doing it? Like, because I know some cats that are like, that's it. They're in one, about to be in one, or, like, just ending one.
Yeah, I think those are real actors who have success. Yeah, that sounds nice.
Thanks for bringing this up.
Sorry to bring that up then. Don't worry, I'll take this part out.
I was in experimental theater wing.
Whoa.
Which is a physical Grotowski based.
I don't know what Grotowski is.
Grotowski is a crazy Polish dude in the 50s and 60s who basically was a cult leader. And outside of Warsaw, I'm probably getting this all wrong, but like outside of Warsaw had this Plastiques theater, which was like called, he wrote a book called Towards a Poor Theater. And it was just dudes and chicks going crazy, trying any sort of like non-narrative structures, all this other stuff. But basically, it's just another acting technique of using your body and creating containers for what you're doing, which works a lot better in theater than it does in commercial acting. But it's still, like, it's gestural, like, building. And let me condense, like, 30 years of research in Iowa Theater Lab into a soundbite of... You build something with your body that helps you understand emotionally what you're trying to do. And then you can start shaving that down so you're not like, kabuki time.
Yeah. Right.
But it is that sort of like, what is the container? What am I trying to connote with that? Which that's took me 2 years to dig into. And I had just gone to NYU to be the next Adam Sandler, so that was kind of tough to figure out.
And you got locked in experimental, like, that's wild.
Yeah, like avoiding orgies.
This is without, I know, forgive me like for my ignorance, but like this is without dialogue? This is just you moving around and stuff?
No.
Oh, okay,
no. It's to still serve any sort of script you do, but there was a lot of self-scripting, like creating of pieces in there. And then there was like multiple other formats, like Mary Overly and like, these viewpoints, which are basically styles of moving. It's just about, it's a good acting program. It's a great directing program.
NYU.
Experimental theater.
Okay.
Because it is all about physical relationships, how you want to see people arranged and how you want to run them into people. So I've definitely realized, like, I'll watch a video I've made for dancing and be like, oh my God. That's like a Paul Lang move that I didn't even realize I was paying attention to back in 1998.
So you absorbed it. You just didn't even realize how
there's
much.
There's so much training in that, yeah. And then like it was Meisner and some other stuff to like round out the speaking, which is like you insinuated it is like kind of secondary.
Yeah. That's interesting though. Like, what do you like? And so you incorporate that in dance videos and stuff, like the videos you're talking about, right?
Not knowingly.
It just sort of comes out.
You know, you have, I don't know, it's tough to like gain new skills as an older gentleman.
Yeah, you kind of get locked into a lot of stuff.
So you just
right?
start finding other stuff you didn't realize you learned.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. Are you now relating a lot back to stuff? You're like, oh, that's this, that, like you just said. Is that like a thing that's happening?
Not physically, like emotionally, when I'm like, oh, that's why I cry. That's probably why.
Well, here's why I cry.
This is why I wake up with a darkness behind my eyes.
Yeah, that's
interesting. Time to dance.
Time to dance in tights. See if I can shake this loose.
Nope. Get over the blues.
Nope.
Did you play instruments?
No. I love music so much.
Yeah.
It affects me on such a deep level.
You didn't want to offend it.
I tried to offend it and succeeded. I know all the chords on a guitar. I know all of them.
Every chord.
Upper chord, seven chord. I know all the chords, but you'd be playing a song, like Sweet Home Alabama, you're strumming along to it, and then I get excited that I'm doing it, and then it starts speeding up, it gets faster, and then it's the rhythm all gone.
Crumbles in front of you.
Yeah. Rhythmically, I probably shouldn't say this as an endorsement for my dance, but I'm rhythmically very challenged. And I fall into rhythm. But like any sort of like mathematical realism necessary in music.
You mean the like taking steps?
Sticking to something.
Yeah. You're just kind of wild.
Knocking something out.
Yeah.
While you're playing Zeppelin music, you can't be having the time that they're having.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Or you're a prodigy and good and you're just living in it like some of my musician friends. But like,
yeah, that was kind of the moment for me.
It's work.
Yeah.
They're at work, right?
They're at work. And I mean, you can relax into it, obviously, I guess.
You're the luckiest person in the world to have that job, and I think that that sinks into your bones, but mm-hmm. you're still working to keep...
Yeah, you can... That song, it's... You don't feel it when you're, like, watching professionals and good musicians, but, like a high school band, how quickly a song can just fall apart.
Yeah. It really
it's
is like
amazing.
It represents, yeah, it's like planets just disappearing into other galaxies. People go on their own journey and then the drums fall off and you're like, that's so true. When you see a good band, I think that was what it was for me. I saw a bunch of concerts and I was like, oh man, they're awesome. When you see something live and it's like ripping, uh-huh. you're like, that's awesome. I don't think that's common. It's not a common thing. And then it makes you go, I don't think I'm one of them.
I'm not that. But then you get exposed, and I've been talking to a few of my friends about this, of like, music is one of the few things where once you achieve proficiency, once you can play all the songs, you can do the thing you're trying to do, then you open yourself to the most utterly destructive rebuke. Because I've seen bands where I was like, if you're just going on a sort of like, that yeah. was music that progressed and that did things, I'm like, fucking hate that band.
Yeah.
That is the worst fucking band in the world. It's like, no, they're not. There's worse bands that can't make music.
Yeah.
But because they've achieved enough to like put it on a plate for you, you're mm-hmm. like, oh, let me just look through this salad. This is a piece of shit. And you start, it's like, it's the worst nitpicking thing of, because I don't think that, if you're a perfunctory actor, you're going to be on a procedural show if you got the face for it.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to be like fucking really Brando-ing yeah. every scene.
Right.
You don't yeah. have to chew the scenery. In fact, you look ridiculous. I don't know if there's any other profession that opens itself up to such judgment
yeah.
for being acceptable.
It's so easy to criticize it.
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
That's why I want to say that Limp Bizkit is the best band.
Oh, this is what this whole thing was all about.
Mm-hmm. To say that.
Limp Bizkit. What are like, what's some bands that you're listening to right now that you're like
Limp
vibing?
Bizkit.
I knew it.
In the sense that, like, if you think of it as a trigger point, like, yeah. what do I want? I want to smash some shit.
Right.
All right.
Cool.
Limp Bizkit. it gets me there.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then there's, you know, I want to groove deep. There's some Otis. You know, you can, yeah. you know, I want to, oh my God. Oh, the song that has been killing me
yeah.
is Aretha Franklin's Drown Myself in Tears. Damn it, I don't even know the fucking actual song. I've listened to it like a thousand times.
Drown in My Own Tears.
Drown in My Own Tears, yeah. thank yeah. you.
That shit's good.
Dude. Oh, and the backup singers come in, and your butthole just opens to accept them.
They go into your butthole.
And then the instrumentation is so sparse until it's up in you. I'm going to do a video on it.
That's
awesome.
It's
not going to be reflective of how good the song is, but it'll be my interpretation of it.
That's awesome. So,
sports. He's a sports guy.
Oh, no kidding.
Touched on
oh, whoa.
Ping pong.
Well, people, yeah, that's true. But I mean, spectator
which
sports.
Which is a sport.
Because we met and had a meal or six beers once, and there was a
meal
game
or
on.
Six beers. I think you had six beers, and I sat quietly.
I think there was a game. I think it was the Nationals game.
Yeah.
Baseball.
I'm a baseball fan.
Baseball game.
Awesome.
I would never, well,
baseball
I would never
tough.
Try to convince anyone to become a baseball fan, but it gets me.
Yeah.
In the Stephen King sense.
It gets you. You vibe on it.
Yeah.
And what about it? Because for some people, it's certain things. Like, is it the
stats?
Stats, yeah.
The fact that you can numerically judge someone from today against Babe Ruth. You
That's
can get some
incredible.
Sort of... Because it's so pervasive, and especially now it's gotten... I mean, it's basically a financial... dreamers financial institutions wet dream, and that you can like delve deeper and deeper into mm-hmm. like what they do. I don't know, I like those sort of the storylines you can get out of that. I wish I could apply my love of that kind of mathematics to like finding a company to invest in.
Sure.
$17
exactly $17
by one share.
And but were you always that way as a kid? Well, go back to that story when you got clocked in the face. What happened there?
Oh, I was a catcher. I was a left-handed catcher. I started playing baseball out of jealousy because my brother, who's 2.5 years younger than me, was playing, and I would just like go to the games and be disaffected. And then he was having such a good time. I was like, I guess I'll play, but I'm going to be a catcher. They're like, you're left-handed. You can't be a catcher. And I'm like, exactly.
This is perfect.
I'm going to have to find a glove. But so I had this glove that wouldn't close all the way. And I had never really played.
Wait, just to clarify, left-handed catcher
means catching with the right hand, throwing with the left hand.
And because so many batters are
right-handed, it mm-hmm. means you're throwing
across a person
into their body. Yeah, essentially.
So it's for throwing down to second. It's really kind of an outdated thing. My friend Adam Lickey will actually crap his pants if he hears that. He was a catcher and like drafted by the Tigers, and he's like, "You're not a catcher." I'm like, "I was on several All-Star teams." He's like, "You're left-handed. You're not a catcher. You're built like a fucking stream being. You're not a catcher."
Yeah.
I'm like, "You and your fucking power thighs can walk away."
Power thighs.
But I would like my stance would change after the fifth inning because my legs were just not strong enough. Yeah. So like I started the first innings with this like deep crouch when I would be hitting, and then by the fifth or sixth inning I would be standing straight up and my legs would be shaking. I'm going to try to just nudge it over to third base. But yeah, my brother was really good. He's built like a shit house. Like he's just all of our Native American ancestry went directly into my brother and bypassed me. I'm like Norman Conquest white. But at like 11, he was already throwing like low 70s, and I had a good arm too until I blew it out at 16. So I was throwing like 70 as well. So we're just like in the backyard hucking the ball,
whipping it.
And he was gonna go the next day to pitch. And my dad, who plays no sports, he played football. And he's built like a barrel-chested dude. I'm built like my mom's side of the family, super skinny.
Slender.
Yeah, and my dad like grips a baseball by like picking the whole thing up. Like it's not on the edge of the fingers. It's not like throwing, it's just like bear picking up thing. And he's like, "Jared," that's my brother's name, "you're doing fine here. But what are you going to do when there's a batter in the batter's box?" He's like, "I've pitched before, Dad. It's fine." He's like, "You need to consider that." And we're like, "We're considering." He's like, "I'm going to get in." We're like, "Fine." And he's like, and he picks up a bat. And I'm like, "Dad, what do you need a bat for? I don't have a mask on. We're just throwing the ball." He's like, "It'll give him the reality."
And I'm like, "I see what he's doing."
"Fine. Okay. Don't swing." He's right. Like, "I'm not going to swing at him." I'm like, "I don't care. Don't swing." He's like, "I'm not going to swing. Don't tell me I'm your father." So I'm sitting there, and like, literally the first pitch, Jared throws it up and in on my dad. My dad leans back out of the way. I start reaching across my body to like grab the ball. It wasn't that far inside. And at the literal last second, my dad extends the bat back into the zone, deflects the ball directly into my nose. And I'm like, "God damn it, Daddy." He's like, "Don't take the Lord's name in vain." And I just throw my glove down. It doesn't even hurt. It's just like this kind of ringing vibratory thing right in the middle of my face.
Blood immediately?
No. And I walk, and my brother, well, it might have been blood immediately because my brother went white and he can't deal with blood, which I love. So I walk to go pick up the ball. And my dad's like, "Adam, you need to sit down." I'm like, "Dad, I told you not to swing." And I turn and I whip the ball back to my brother, who catches it without moving. He's just like ghost.
Right.
And I'm like, "Oh, I can't believe." And I start to sneeze. And my dad's like, "Sit down." And I'm like, "I'm fine." "Achoo." And I sneeze. And from my elbows down to my hand, just all blood. My brother gets weak in the knees. And I'm it never hurt.
Just,
I was so livid.
Did they have to crack your nose back or anything?
I mean, look at it. I think it was like broken in line, but then at some point it just kind of settled to the left.
It leans.
It's, yeah. My
ever so slightly.
My grandfather says I have a Roman nose, i.e. it's Roman all around my head.
Perfect dad jokes. I love it. That's amazing.
Yeah, so, yeah, that eventually led to me not accepting this Judeo-Christian version of God because my dad broke my nose.
Wraps right back around to your losing God.
Mm-hmm. To your moment.
That's so amazing. I mean, I don't think I've ever told my dad that in direct terms.
So tell me about, I don't know much about this, but tell me about like how you got into this video making thing. If you don't mind.
Sure. I just finished a play with my writing partner, writing the screenplay, sorry. Mm-hmm. And then I was in the middle of playing Lady Bracknell, a 60-year-old woman in The Importance of Being Earnest at my athletics club.
Awesome.
And I woke up one morning and was like, I'm about to have nothing. I'm like, it's going to be a very empty day, like in 2 days.
Yeah.
And so I had this idea for a YouTube video where my upstairs neighbor, who is kind of a jerk, she, like, playing it up, like, how she hates when I make noise. So I was going to do a dance every day. I would put on the music and dance until she knocked on the floor for me to stop.
That's awesome.
So I made, like, this 50-second dance to Busta Rhyme.
Which track? Do you remember?
It says the N-word a lot.
Oh, it's the N-word track.
So it's the N-word track. I can't remember this track.
No sweat.
It's one of my favorites. Just like that Aretha Franklin song, "Crying in My Own Tears."
Crying on my own.
Crying my up own all in my tears. Needless to say, I don't remember.
Yeah. Certain things. No sweat.
So I did the thing. It was great. I loved it. I posted to YouTube.
You straight up looked like you loved it.
Two people watch it, and I was like, I fucking hate myself, and I hate YouTube.
Right.
And so I threw up 15 seconds of it onto Instagram, because that's the video had been around, I think, for a few months at that point. And suddenly, like, all of my 112 followers were like, this is good. I'm like, oh, people like me. And so then about a week later, after I finished the play, I did the second one, and my writing partner was like, you look tired, you look angry in this video. I'm like, maybe I shouldn't do one a day. He's like, it looks like it's really taking it out of you. And then I did like two more in my living room. Then it went to the backyard and I poured some water on my half naked body. Then it went out to like a location. Then I started doing green screen and all this other shit. But it's all awesome. Self-contained. It was like iPhone import to iMovie, like a soccer mom editing her kids'
amazing
videos. So yeah, and then I did a year
every day
of every day, or more than one a day, with some commissions and some other stuff like that.
Yeah.
And nearly lost my mind, and then took a couple months doing sporadic, and then now I've been doing, I think, one a day for the last 2 months.
Wow.
Again.
That's incredible.
Back in.
One a day. Back in it.
Back in. Gonna finally burn out any sort of sanity I have.
Yeah. Lose it, man.
It's gone.
Lose it, man. It's lose gone. It in the, lose
for
it in the
day. Having my motorcycle into cars now. I think it could be the death wish.
I know. And how long have you been riding motorcycles? Out of curiosity.
10 years.
10 years?
Yeah.
And it was just, is it in your family at all, or is it a moment where you...
It is definitely,
like,
not in my family.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so it was
I asked
rebellion.
For a loan from my grandfather to buy a motorcycle when I was 19. And he was like, I can't give you money in good conscience because you're going to kill yourself.
Oof.
And I probably would have at 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was still jumping my truck.
Yeah,
we had an old our high school football helmet, and I like put that on and jumped my Dodge Dakota off this like, earthen ramp.
Jesus,
it was like 8 feet high, and it just basically the truck died about 2 weeks later of unexplained causes.
Shock to the undercarriage.
Yeah, it just apart.
Got really sad. You blew its brain out.
That's crazy. Did you get a lot of trouble with cars or anything like that? What's the worst trouble you've been in?
Worst trouble?
Yeah, like, you have any law trouble? You get in trouble with Johnny Law?
No, man, I have...
No, man!
For as, like, hardcore as I am...
Hardcore.
You know, like, I'm real respectful to authorities. To their face.
You didn't talk back to teachers or anything like that?
I got in trouble for being hilarious.
Oh, on occasion, I see, yeah.
But mostly in church. I was actually really uncomfortable... I had buck teeth and this nose on a smaller child's face. So, like, I was pretty... my humor came about from the feeling that inevitably someone's going to get annoyed at something I say or do, and they're going to come at me about my physical stuff. So I'm evaluating them for what they feel uncomfortable about, and they're not going to be able to take it. What? So I got in a lot of fights when I was like 15 and 16.
Okay, so that was where it came from. And this was just you sizing up a dude and being like, nice nails.
Like yeah, that. It was like, I'd be like, oh, those are cute pants. Your mom can't afford to get the regular structure corduroys. You have to get the
Hanes. God, you're making me feel bad right now.
Like, it was all just, like, self-loathing turned back on someone. So it would eventually, they would get laughed at, and they would run out of any verbal repartee. Mm-hmm. And either you turn away, and then it would turn to fisticuffs. Yeah. So then I was like, well, better train for that. So I would start taking Taekwondo.
Jesus. Taekwondo. When did you start?
Just to talk to the three people who are listening to this. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Just us.
It's just us later.
This is you learning.
We're gonna
later.
Just watch. We're gonna just listen to this on the stereo later.
Taekwondo is the least effective real.
It's for dance. Martial art. It's dance. Yeah.
I don't know anything.
It's beautiful,
about martial arts.
Long kicks and stuff like that. But I was also trained in Hapkido, which is like wrist locks and takedowns and stuff like that.
That's Steve Seagal.
That's Steve Seagal.
That's Steven Steve Seagal.
He's Aikido. Aikido, not
what did
Hapkido.
You say?
Aikido is Japanese.
Hapkido is basically
it's just bouncing all the time.
It's just like you're always
hopping.
Sort of fucking.
You appreciate the martial arts movies though?
Oh, Van Damme.
Van Damme? Yeah.
Oh, him being drunk and kickboxing? I can't remember any titles, can I?
Kickboxing is one.
Is where he gets drunk in the thing and he makes him fight the guys. Oh, it's classic Van Damme wearing some great outfits. I'm a big fashion fan of Van Damme.
I'm
early
a big
90s.
Van Damme fan, yeah.
I'm a big ass Van Damme. I'm a big damn Van Damme right fan.
Ooh, yeah.
That's I'm a pretty nice. Big Van Damme fan.
That, Van Damme fan.
That he has a couple of comedic moments in because he's playing an identical twin of himself, an American version that somehow never learned an American accent. And there's some real funny moments. Really,
he's American? One of them is American?
I believe one of them is American in that, yeah.
Was it based off of twins?
Probably. It was probably at the same time Twins came out.
I'm sure.
And they were just like, you, but twins.
I'd love to, track that sort of like, this is a hit now, so how does it span out from Twins? Okay, we got DeVito, Schwarzenegger. Okay, that's an action movie. We're going to have double impact. And then how does that go into the porn industry where it's like twins, where there's like some like midget
twins
girl getting
impact.
Fucked into a Schwarzenegger big Austrian girl into rom-com.
I really, how
it's the
finding
most
the influence. Yeah. You're talking about a science nobody
if
wants to do.
If I smoked more weed, I would probably do that.
But it's like just the Van Damme genre alone is pretty awesome.
Yeah, even
the later stuff. Like,
what's the Rodman one? Isn't that called Double Impact?
That's Double Impact 2?
I think that one's like Double Trouble.
Double Trouble?
Double Trouble.
That's probably a Mary-Kate Ashley Olsen.
That's Triple Dribble Threat.
Triple Dribble Threat. They're, in that movie, Rodman constantly makes basketball jokes. Like, the nice
That's
rebound.
That's another slam dunk.
Yeah, and it's amazing. And then, I think, if I'm not mistaken, they fight a tiger at the end.
That's sad.
It is.
Think what's the you beat up an animal that didn't know what it was fighting for?
Symbolism, though, dude.
And I think Mickey Rourke's in that. I think
just throw him in.
Throw him in there. I could be wrong about
Have
all three of those.
Have you seen The Expendables?
No.
Oh yeah,
Mickey Rourke in that.
He does this real gay thing with Sylvester Stallone where he gives him a back tattoo while he's laying across a motorcycle.
Whoa.
I think they thought it was like the most heterosexual. But in reality, it's very uncomfortable. I think like I have over three homosexual friends, and I think to a man, they would all be like, "That's pretty gay," and not in a way I want to be associated with.
Yeah, and the way it's shot as of
it's
like
sensual.
It's sensual because they like lean into it. Have you watched it?
No. Have I watched it?
Don't watch it.
I can't watch it.
YouTube it.
I don't understand how you can't watch anything. George.
I'll get angry at myself before anything homoerotic ever starts.
You wouldn't make it to the good part.
No,
that's amazing.
I'd watch the best parts and forget
the thing that blows my mind about the Expendables thing is his. The weird romance that's in it, right? With the helpless. Do you remember this at all? Like, I believe it was in the first one. And Stallone has like a weird pseudo fake, like a fake romance that never, they never actually end up together or anything like that. It's like a, it's a love story.
Is it a waitress?
I think they're just like, we don't want Stallone to like,
to have sex with anyone.
Anyone.
They shot it for him, but they were like, no. I know you're the executive producer, but no.
Nah.
He is, thank God that he exists to make Rocky and First Rambo. Like, those are amazing films. And Oscar as well, where he says, I'm not an oxymoron. He thinks oxymoron's an insult.
Is that an Oscar? What is Oscar?
He plays like a mob boss. It kind of looks like Dick Tracy colors.
Whoa.
But he's like, it was like his turn to comedy.
I see, okay.
Of course, everybody I haven't seen one. It since
Throw
it
Mama
came
from
out.
The Train, right?
Throw Mama from the Train.
What did you think of that? That had that Goonies lady in it, right?
The Goonies lady. Yeah.
It's incredible.
Then he is like obviously insane. I saw Mel Gibson in person.
What? Tell me about that. What did he eat? What was his... what did he eat? Yeah.
It was at the old Largo, which is now like an unnamed club. Like, it's a private club.
You secretly own it.
I have some investments. $17 in McDonald's. So I was there to see a friend's band, and Benedict Cumberbatch was there.
What?
And yeah, I was remarking to my writing partner, I was like, look at this Cumberbatch. And then he turns and looks back to me kind of like struck, and I'm like, oh, that is Cumberbatch. And then I got like 13-year-old girl giddy. I had no idea that this would happen to me. So I was like, my friend Taylor Goldsmith from Dawes, like, he was just a name drop, the weirdest name drop. I was like, it just felt like, oh, you're kind of famous, so it's gonna be okay if I'm like, we're gonna go stand up behind him and I'm gonna make jokes loudly and hope he accepts me.
Awesome.
So that happened. He did accept me.
Good.
We smiled and shared a laugh about an early 80s rap reference. And then, like, as things were winding down and Benedict had long since left me without goodbye, I hear like this like maniacal laugh, and it's Mel looking like what I can only imagine his version of like a wealthy Jew banker would look like. He had this massive gray beard, an open like silk shirt with a medallion in it.
Get out of here.
Like, I'm not fucking kidding. And I got scared because I was just staring.
Just
and
gawking.
I was like, he might bite me. Like, that's what he felt like. I say Jewish, but he felt like an Armenian like drug dealer.
Really?
It took
Did
me a
he
second.
Look as batshit as I picture him in my
he
brain.
Looked good
he looked good.
Okay. He looked like healthy
for an Armenian.
Crazy. Yeah, like he looked eight. Like he looked like 1989 Armenian.
Wow.
Everyone knows that reference, right?
Yeah. I don't even so know like track suity. Like,
yeah, it was like a linen white suit with a black silk open like big collar shirt, and he was laughing. I think he was like running a table, like just talking to a whole table at once. But I was like, that's Mel Gibson.
And
that's Lethal Weapon right there. That's the actor I wanted to be like.
Yeah? Was that like an early sort of like, I want to
be. Oh, Riggs?
That.
Yeah.
Riggs was dope.
Johnny Riggs. You fucking put the bullet, you put the gun to your head.
Can't do it. You're crying a little bit.
And then you meet Danny Glover, and he thinks your thing. You put him down with your karate, you know.
Right.
Ugh. He crazy enough cool. to be great. Oh, it was one of the best characters ever.
The shoulder separation, like.
Oh, yeah, that's. Oh, I actually separated my shoulder on purpose, sort of, as an 8-year-old because I thought that was fine. It hurt real bad.
I bet. That's why you're
shoulder problem. No, I fell off of BMX and, like, popped my shoulder out of a joint. But then, it was like, we gotta go take your mom.
You're like,
I was like, hold on. And I ran my shoulder into a tree and it popped back in. But, like, whatever acting he was doing is not what happens when your shoulder
it's
goes back
so
in the joint.
It's so painful, right?
It is like someone...
But they would have had to do that.
...climbed into your butthole.
They would have had to do that to you at the hospital.
Just really quickly.
Kept going back and in and out.
That feels good.
No, like with forceps.
Oh, like a
It's
person.
Just like a ripping... It's like everything is being clawed out of you.
What are you talking
in
about?
Your
that feels
thing.
Good.
You like a little butt play, George?
That's a part of sex, yeah.
It's a part of sex.
Deals, big deals. It's a part of sex.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, how do people see your Instagram? What do they search?
For the app.
The app is
unless we're talking to parents.
We're starting from the app.
Yeah, this is a parent podcast. Yeah.
Okay, for mom, dad, you're going to want to type in www.instagram.com / Adams Carpenters, or you can just in the search window.
So that's plurals on both your names.
I plural both my names.
Champion.
There's been a couple girls who are girlfriends who their boyfriends have been like, who is this Adam S. Carpenters who keeps, who keeps commenting on your shit?
Awesome.
So yeah, watch out for Adams S. Carpenters.
Check it out, man.
Okay. That's Adams awesome. S. Carpenters. You got shows or anything coming up?
I think I did something once.
You did
a couple music videos. Oh, I'm gonna be hitting it up in a Velveeta ad pretty soon.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, so check him out in that Velveeta spot.
Got a little liquid gold action.
Yeah. I like that. I actually remember seeing that like a couple spots from that campaign a while ago.
I think they're gonna be funny.
Yeah.
To just hype up a commercial. That's the only thing I really got going in my life.
I love it. I love it a lot.
All right. Now do we sign off with like saying something in unison?
Yes.
Yeah.
And what is it? Do you remember what it was, George?
Yeah, we'll figure it out right now when we say it.
Take it for the rest of the day. Bob. thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, thanks. It was so sweet, nigga. It was such a time for niggas. You know what I mean? Niggas to go out of town instead of shopping a little crack that crib and bubble. Yeah, you know, niggas that run up in the mall and buy my 30 pair of sneakers. Little niggas that was getting it. Now that I'm a man, blessed to see a lot of shit. You know I'm taking what was mine. For sure, for sure. Thinking bigger, now I'm trying to own land. Getting up, now I'm older, nigga. Think as a grown man. Niggas is having seeds, gotta create a new whole plan. Tired of winter hustles, holding crack in my cold hand. So then I started to spit hollering where my dogs is at. Run up in labels hollering where your boss is at. So determined to get this new cake. Like you ain't no. To put some better food on my plate. So what you do? Spit the shit the streets of love and respect. And in return got corporate America cutting me checks. It's only right. This was some new shit for me to get loose to. Started feeling the love different from what I was used to. Fucking lots of hoes getting a lot of the dough. Money bigger plus we doing the award shows. Now sing this shit. Yeah. Hey, yeah. You know what's beautiful when you ain't. When you ain't gotta sell no more of that shit. You know what I mean? You can put the crack down and shit. Money legal now, nigga got a little rap paper. Real successful now, nigga. Yeah, you know we taking care of the family. And it couldn't get more sweeter. Come on. Now that I'm a man, blessed to see a lot of shit. You know I'm taking what was diligence.